A Confession of a True Christian, Psalms chapter 119, verses 163 to 165. Today's Bible verses are from a book of Psalms, chapter 119, verses 163 to 165. I hate and abhor all falsehood, but I love your instructions. I will praise you 7 times a day because all your regulations are just. Those who love your instructions have great peace and do not stumble. If we look at the document of the early church that has been written in the first century, we see that there was a bename in front of the people's names who were Christians. That bename was Titidios. They put a bename Titidios all the time in front of their names. Paul as well was called as Titidios Paul, John as well was called as Titidios John, and Peter as well was called as Titidios Peter. Titidios means a person who does not worry at all. A reason that the people of the early church put a bename Titidios was that they wanted to prove that they were the people of God, and these are the people that have been freed from worries. These were the confessions of the people of the early church, who were filled fully with the Holy Spirit. Only because of one thing, because that they believed in Jesus, they got their houses taken away. They were in agony and in chaos, they lost their belongings, their work too. But they put a bename Titidios as proof that they are the people that do not worry at all, despite all these difficulties. They proudly called themselves as Titidios Peter, Titidios John and Titidios Paul, as a confession and a proof. That's right. We also need to make a confession like this. We also need to be able to call ourselves as Titidios Pastor Young, Titidios Elder Kim, Titidios Deacon Lee and alike. That is a true Christian. Like a saying that there is no drinkable water in a flood, rather, people say these days that there are a lot of people in quantity but there is no person also. This means that there is no person that could be made use of. The Lord also looked for people, because the Lord works through people. To spread the good news about heaven, people were needed. At that time the Lord did not call the politicians who were good at public speaking, did not call the writers who were good at writing. Out of so many people, he called Peter who was honest and upright, and put him as his best disciple. In the Old Testament as well, he called Amos who used to be a farmer that grew mulberry trees. He also called a person like Gideon, who was a farmer and used as a person of God. Gad called people who were honest, who did not have tricks, who were not cunning, who did not have craftsmanship. God looked for people who would even obey to die in faith, if it is God's will, and looked for people who does not worry at all, like Titidios, and used people like these. As we approach the end of the year more closely, we need to appoint people to work for Him. I prayed to God thinking about these things. Who would be the person that the Lord would want? What would be the criteria of the Lord? In the Bible, Samuel also was about to make a mistake, so it could be possible that the person that the Lord does not want could also be appointed. When they were looking for the second Israel king to appoint, Gad ordered Samuel to appoint one of the 8 sons of Jesse as a king. When Samuel brought an oil bottle and went to the home of Jesse, the eldest son Eliab had a desire to be a king but did not do what he had to do and only waited. When Samuel looked at him, he was very good looking. So he thought that would be good enough in appearance for a king. So he was about to pour oil out on him, to appoint him as a king. But there was a voice of God. In the 1 Samuel chapter 6, verse 7, the Lord said to Samuel, "Stop, Samuel, put that oil bottle down from your hands. Do not judge by his appearance or height, for I have rejected him." The Lord does not see the things the way you see them. People judge by outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. If they have appointed a person as their king, who was rejected by God, then their nation also would have been perished. When Jesse's 2nd, 3rd, 4th, 5th, 6th and the 7th son was brought forward, God said, "That is not who I am looking for." When the last son, David, was brought forward, God said, "This is the one, anoint him as king. So as David stood there among his brothers, Samuel took the flask of olive oil he had brought and anointed David with the oil. And the Spirit of the Lord came powerfully upon David from that day on. Without the ambition to be a king, David was doing his best in looking after his herd of sheep, and was faithful in what he was doing. God looked for a person like this David and appointed him as a king. This is Tidedios David. I hope you will also be people of God, that confess and call yourselves as Tidedios, like Christian people of the early church, who do not worry at all about worldly desires. David has shown a confession of a true Christian in today's Bible passage. He had shown the three kinds confessions of a true Christian. Firstly, it is a confession that wishes to be an honest Christian. In verse 163, David confessed, "I hate and abhor all falsehood, but I love your instructions." David learnt about honesty through difficulties. Previously, David did not live honestly. He took a wife of Uriah's, and to hide this, he made Uriah's to be on the forefront of the battle in a war, and made him to die. Uriah's was faithful and was a loyalist. So David had committed a sin that could not be forgiven. Due to the price for the sin David had committed previously, his child died, and his son even revolted to take his father's position of a king. David had to flee in bare feet. His trusted servant started rebellion against him. But when the prophet Nathan rebuked David, David repented till his bed got wet. David learnt about honesty from God. As in Psalms chapter 51, verse 10, David prayed, "Create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew a loyal spirit within me." In fact, when the hands, feet and body had committed a sin, it was a prayer that asked for God to give him a clean heart. In other words, it was prayer to ask God to renew a loyal spirit within him. It was a prayer to ask God to fix his heart. Because a heart controls thinking and thoughts control behavior. Jesus also made it clear that if a person has hatred in a heart, that person had already committed a murder. If a person has a sexual desire, lust in a heart, that person had also committed adultery. Whatever a person has in a heart, shows up in a behavior. So David prayed to ask for a clean, honest heart within him. After this, David lived honestly. In today's words, David confessed saying, "I hate and abhor all falsehood." Because God is perfect, so he blesses us, but although we have weaknesses and make mistakes, God valuably uses people who are honest. So even if we lived with a lot of falsehood previously, if we come back to God honestly, then God blesses us. So therefore, in running a business, do it with honesty. When running a restaurant, when you add flavoring and seasoning to make better flavor, to deceive people's appetite, or adding milk to beef soup, to make it look like it is a soup that has been boiled for a long time with beef bones, how long would this restaurant be able to go for? The truth will be revealed, so the restaurant would shut down. They will get to realize that honesty is an asset. Also, we need to be honest in relationships with people. In a married couple relationship, relationships with friends, sexual relationships as well, in all relationships, honesty is important. In a financial matter as well, transparency and trust are important. The closer the relationship is, the financial matter needs to be clearer. That is wisdom. It is better to not form a relationship dealing with money matters with people who are close. Also, if money has been lent, does not matter whatever happens, the money must be paid back. The trust needs to be a resource. There was an incident in a church nearby our area. The elder seemed to be faithful and looked as if he was serving well in church. But he borrowed more than $10 million from people and fled to overseas. He used to give interest to people who lent him money. He used to give out 20-30% in interest for a few months, so people lent him money and put their houses as security. When they introduced their relatives to him, he even gave out commissions on introducing more people to him. Think about it, with a calm and sense. Would a business which gives out an interest of 20 to 30% be normal? It was a finance multi-level marketing. This person committed a fraud and fled away. A person who did such fraudulent act was a problem, but also people who got tricked by him were also a problem. They got deceived due to the greed for financial gain. The common sense should have been applied. When we live a life, we need wisdom like Solomon. Have a look at two women that asked Solomon to make a just judgment. Two women fought over a bay and both claimed that bay is mine. The truth there was that one person was lying. The truth was revealed by wisdom of Solomon. He ordered to bring them a big knife, and said, "Do not fight, I will divide this baby, and will give half each to you." The real mum cried out, and said, "Do not kill that baby and give it to the other person," and pleaded to Solomon to make that baby live. On the other hand, the other woman said, "King, you're making it very fair, divide that baby and give a half to me." Who would be a real mum? The object can be divided in half with a knife. But how can a life of a person be divided in half with a knife? Wisdom of Solomon was there. Solomon found a real mum for the baby. In living a life, we need wisdom of God. For individuals, society, nations, honesty should not be fallen down. Nations as well, have a look at the construction of the nuclear power plant and its falsehood. They did not use authentic goods. They used fake goods and due to the danger of having accidents, they started it all over again. Because of this, entire 1 year has been delayed. Due to this delay, next year as well, there would be a serious energy shortage for everyone. In Korea nuclear power plant, in its third and the fourth one, the entire cable, which is 92 kilometers long in length, has been found to be a fake product and they need to lay this cable all over again. This is simply unbelievable. We have seen Chernobyl nuclear plant and Fukushima nuclear plant disasters, so we know how deadly and scary the after effects are, but fake products were used still. The companies or related people, they need to be expelled forever. We need to make our cooperative ideas on nationalism to awaken. In every nation, there is an unique feature of their people and nation. In Germany, it is honesty. When they produce products, they make solid, authentic goods. So people highly regard goods from Germany, whether it is a car, or other goods, people know that their goods are made with honesty. Their goods are known for its solidarity and safety. The US is a nation that is controlled strongly by law. They treat everything according to the law. People like to treat everything legally. So even there are a lot of races, the order has been well maintained, because still the power of the law is alive in public. On the other hand, China is full of falsehood and fake goods. They even make fake eggs, so what could be believed as truth? There is no one that approves the goods from China. There is no trust and no honesty. In Proverbs chapter 20, verse 10, it says, "False weights and unequal measures, the Lord detests double standards of every kind." Not only a businessman who runs business with an inaccurate weight scale deceives people, but it is deceiving God too. David said he hates and abhors falsehood, he confessed and desired to live honestly. Also, David wanted to live by praising God. In verse 164, he says, "I will praise you seven times a day, because all your regulations are just." Praise is not something that we receive, but it is something that we offer and give. Without grace in heart, praise does not come out externally. David praised God seven times a day. It does not mean that David praised and worshipped God with seven songs, but he praised God seven times. A beginning of the day and the end of the day of David was all about praise and worship. Praising means a person lives with grace and in grace. Without thanksgiving and grace, we cannot give praise. Also, the praise does not come out. In praising God, there is a power. In the 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 23, it says, "Whenever the tormenting spirit from God troubled Saul, David would play the harp. Then Saul would feel better, and the tormenting spirit would go away. When David praised God with playing of the instrument, the evil spirit that was in Saul left him. In Acts chapter 16, when Paul and Silas were praying and praising God in a prison, the prison door got opened, and the whole prison got shook and they experienced a miracle. Their chains got broken. That is a power of praising. In Revelations chapter 7, Apostle Paul saw a lot of people in white robes praising God and singing Hosanna. These were the people who were saved and these were the children of God. The praise like this was called as a new song. In Isaiah chapter 6 as well, when Isaiah was going up to the house of God and praying, he saw a heaven opening and a grand choir singing and praising God holy, holy beside the throne of God. A life of Christian needs to be a life of singing and praising God at all times. Praising means there is thanksgiving and living in grace. When I went on a mission trip, I shared a story about the deep grace that I have experienced while I sang hymns. I traveled the mission field for 12 hours return, and started singing hymns from number one hymn in a car. While I sang 30 hymns, 50 hymns, and 100 hymns, I started to experience the presence of the Holy Spirit. The people who went on a mission trip with me started to cry out and repented, and they were so glad, and were deeply moved, and they also experienced amazing grace of God. From then on, when I go on a mission trip, I also let people to sing hymns. Then people do not get carsick and they do not complain. They get less tired, and when we reach our final destination, the face is bright. It is because the Spirit of God was present in the heart. My mother sang hymns for a few hours, and I remember her singing the hymn I Am in the Lord and saying Amen Amen by herself in grace and in joy. I picture this scene from time to time and vividly. How many times do you sing hymns in a day? A person who is full of grace in a heart, hymns do not leave from that person's lip. Always, this person gives praises and worships with a hymn. I pray and bless all of you in the name of Jesus, that you will enjoy the grace, and also be able to cast the evil spirits with praise and worship and proclaim the spiritual victory. In verse 165, it says, "Those who love your instructions have great peace and do not stumble." The law of the Lord is going back to the words of God. It is loving the words of God. David loved the words of God so dearly, he said in Psalms chapter 119, verse 103, "How sweet your words taste to me, they are sweeter than honey." In Psalms chapter 119, verse 105, he said, "Your word is a lamp to guide my feet and a light for my path." It means the words of God are like a lamp that lights up the path, that lights up the way, that lies ahead of us in our lives. The word of God is life. In Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, it says, "For the word of God is alive and powerful, it is sharper than the sharpest two-edged sword, cutting between soul and spirit, between joint and marrow. It exposes our innermost thoughts and desires." The words of God is also a plumb line that helps to set out way straight. In Amos chapter 7, verses 7-8, it says, "Then he showed me another vision. I saw the Lord standing beside a wall that had been built using a plumb line. He was using a plumb line to see if it was still straight. And the Lord said to me, 'Amos, what do you see?' I answered, 'A plumb line.' And the Lord replied, 'I will test my people with this plumb line. I will no longer ignore all their sins.'" The plumb line is words of God. The words of God have a power to change. In Jeremiah chapter 23, verse 29, it says, "Is not my word like fire, declares the Lord, and like a hammer that breaks a rock in pieces? Does not my word burn like fire?" asks the Lord. "It is not like a mighty hammer that smashes a rock to pieces. Even a spirit that is solid and hard like a rock, when words of God get in the heart, it breaks and changes the person." That is the power of the words of God. Dear my brothers and sisters in Christ, have a look at the result of a person who loves the words of God. Let's read verse 165, "Those who love your instructions have great peace and do not stumble." Whatever it is, results need to be good. There are two good results afterwards. He gives big peace. It is not just a mere peace, but he said he will give us a big peace. It is not peace that comes out from circumstances and conditions. It is peace from heaven above, and it is God-given peace. It is grace that gives to true Christians, and this is what David confesses. Secondly, he removes the obstacles. There are a lot of obstacles in this world. Obstacles with people, obstacles with financial resources, obstacles with health, and obstacles in businesses, etc. There are countless obstacles, and obstacles are everywhere in this world. Not having any obstacles is a blessing out of all the blessings. It is because God is a protector. It is a blessing that He gives to people who loves the law of the Lord, the words of God. I hope and pray that you will also make a true confession like David. God will give peace in your path in front of you and will take care of all the obstacles. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.